Call to the April 12th, 2001 House Committee on Agriculture and Forestry. Thanks for coming. To update the agenda for you all, we will not be hearing House Bill 3114 today.
14.
Excuse me, 3814.
Mr. Chair?
I guess the chair needs glasses. So, something like that. So, we are going to move into a... We don't have a quorum. We do have a quorum. We're going to move into a work session on House Bill 3147. And the purpose of this work session, members, is to simply refer this bill to which committee?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, water and environment is okay. My understanding.
Okay, that's the purpose of this work session. Members, I'd entertain a motion to do so.
To move it to water and what?
To water and environment without recommendation.
Without recommendation. Done.
Okay, it has been so moved. Discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Close a work session on House Bill 3147. And now the chair would like to open a public hearing, possible work session on HJM 22. Ray, would you tell us what HJM 22 is all about?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Excuse me. HJM 22 requests the United States Forest Service and other federal land management agencies to implement cohesive forest management strategies to reduce factors leading to catastrophic wildfires. It requests the United States Department of the Interior and the United States Department of Agriculture to draft a nationally prescribed fire strategy for public lands. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ray. Committee members, this is a bill that I have brought forward at the request of OFIC, and they're going to be coming forward shortly. Just to share with you what we're trying to get at here is especially what appears to be the direction we're headed this summer with perhaps a devastating fire year. We're trying to get the Forest Service and the federal government to move in perhaps a different direction in looking at modifying their practices to reducing fire loads and all of those issues that surround that. That's what the intention of this is. So therefore, the chair would like to call Mike, is it, how do I say it? Dykesel, okay, from OFIC, and Ed Daniels. Ed, if you want to come forward at the same time, it'd be fine. Welcome to you both, and for the record, state your names.
Chairman Krupp and committee members, for the record, my name is Mike Dykesel. I'm the Director of Forest Protection for the Oregon Forest Industries Council.
Chairman Krupp and committee members, I'm Ed Daniels with the Oregon Department of Forestry, and I'm the Assistant to the Fire Protection Program Director.
If I may, our belief that House Joint Memorial 22 takes a very positive step along with a number of states throughout the West who are also significantly impacted by natural resource issues are also drafting similar legislation through their own legislative bodies to immediately and effectively implement a cohesive fuels treatment strategy to protect our valuable public forest resources. These values are not really limited to board foot volumes or log references, as some might think we would be concerned about. The values include all the benefits associated with public lands that are effectively managed for multiple use: camping, hiking, fishing, opportunities to view wildlife, natural wonders, and places to reflect in a peaceful environment are just a few of the expectations the public has in regard to their lands. The fuels buildup that a lot of terminology has been surrounding lately is a term that's used to describe the accumulation of fuels on the forest floor and the decaying of overmature stands. Over the last 100 years, man's efforts to suppress wildfires have allowed these fuels to build up to a very high level. The other aspect is that an impaired ability to practice a variety of sound forest management practices in the last decade on federal lands has further increased the risk of catastrophic wildfires. Fuels buildup is not a new term. It has been used for a number of years to describe and blame the level of resource loss and to justify the staggering increase of fighting wildfires. It's been recognized for years, but really there hasn't been anything that's been done to improve the situation. Basically, it's terrible to have witnessed the devastating effect of last year's fire season. The National Fire Plan intends to address the situation with an additional $1.8 billion to hopefully take care of the problem. It still remains very unclear at this time whether it's a one-time allocation or it's a commitment for long-term.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Daxel, I'm sorry. I did my best to follow you,
sure.
But so that when you said $1.8 billion, it sounded good,
mm-hmm.
But I missed where this was coming from.
It's a federal government allocation.
From who in the federal government?
Yeah, I don't know if you can help out that one. Where's the money coming from?
It would be in the budget for the
Forest Service.
Forest Service.
For the United
five federal States. Agencies that manage
for the United fire. States Forest Service.
U.S.
Correct.
Forest Service and the Department of Interior agencies also. So.
And in the current budget.
Correct.
Well, in the current budget they're operating under today or the proposed budget.
I believe it's the proposed.
Be the proposed budget, because correct me if I'm wrong, that the current budget they're operating under today doesn't have near this amount of money in it. Correct.
Well, I believe that's correct.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Representative?
Yes, follow-up, please, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Yes, absolutely.
So if this is the proposed sum, do we know what the actual sum is we have available for this fire season? And I believe you know I'm coming to you from a helicopter background and
sure.
A company that reseeded 85% of this beautiful Northwest
sure.
Okay. Reclaimed it. So do we know what we do have available?
Ed is dealing with the Department of Forestry. He's probably a little more familiar with some of the actual numbers.
Chairman Croft, Representative Nelson, I have a document that I brought with me. It's an executive summary for the National Fire Plan that does have some budget figures in it. I haven't studied it, and I'm not familiar with it, but I could provide it to the committee, and it does include the fiscal 2001 budget, which they are currently in.
Okay, that would be very helpful, and our staff would be happy to take that document from you right now and make copies of it. Representative Krieger, do you have a question?
Well, maybe just a little clarification that he can give us. Isn't it true, Dan, that the federal government over the last, prior to this last appropriation, had actually cut back on funds on like Forest Service, BLM, Department of Ag for a good number of years, including equipment and manpower?
Chairman Croft, Representative Krieger, yes. For a number of years, the U.S. Forest Service and the other natural resource agencies in the Department of Interior had experienced budget cutbacks for a number of years. In this current budget, they are restoring a lot of that, and hopefully that'll continue.
Okay. I'll do a follow-up.
Yes, Representative Krieger.
I think while we're here, might be a good place for you just to briefly kind of give us an outline of the insurance program the Department of Forestry has with Lloyd's of London and how that comes across and what that means to the state of Oregon. Can you do that?
Representative Krieger, I can try. I don't deal with that on a regular basis, but I've been around it a bit. This Oregon Department of Forestry does have I believe it's a $35 million insurance.
A little bit maybe more familiar on this one. It is a one-of-a-kind worldwide policy that's the head agency is Lloyd's of London, and it does operate under four or five different other entities below Lloyd's of London. It insures the state of Oregon for catastrophic loss to the level of $43 million currently, with a $10 million deductible from the landowners. The first $10 million would be paid from landowner assessments. Anything over and above that, up to $43 million, is covered by the insurance policy.
That's great. Thank you.
I think it shows that we have made a substantial long-term investment, and that's been recognized, that we seem to be able to control our situation, and this is going to help and make it better.
If I might expand just a little bit there.
Please.
This only covers the state of Oregon. This does not address federal lands, which HJM 22 really respectfully requests the federal government maybe to come up to Oregon standards in the way they manage fires. That adds a little more clarification there. The reason we are able to obtain that insurance policy is the reputation of the Oregon Department of Forestry and their interaction with the private landowners of the state.
Of course,
yes.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair, of my previous question. Where we are today, as I understood earlier in the season, when we started, that we have been drastically cut back in the state, as Representative Krieger mentioned, but my concern is, in the requirement for dollars, is the state stepping up to this? It's kind of like the utility problem. Is the state stepping up to this great potential fire season with additional dollars, and as we require the federal government or ask them to do so likewise?
Representative Nelson, I'm slightly familiar with some of the plans that we're putting together with regard to in preparing for this coming fire season. I believe, and I think that's my source is the Statesman Journal, that there was some money set aside, or the governor had proposed some additional funds in the emergency fund to deal with this next fire season should we have problems. We have our typical budget that we've submitted, and it is adequate for the generally the average worst kind of fire season. If we have a catastrophic fire season like some of the other states in the West had last year, that's where the emergency fund insurance policy steps in and helps cover the costs for that extra fires that we have and the cost of those suppression.
Representative Nelson, I understand from the co-chairs that they have included $5 million of general fund money in the budget for the purposes of fire suppression in the coming proposed budget, which takes effect July 1.
Yes.
So,
additional, Mr. Chair?
No, I believe it's $5 million total for fire suppression. I could be incorrect. Does that not sound right, Ed?
This isn't for our agency. This would be in the emergency.
Yes.
In the emergency,
yeah.
Fund, the state's emergency fund.
Right.
$5 million was the figure I read. Yes.
Yeah.
I might add just one,
yes,
thing.
Please.
I do believe that is the case, that they've already gone to the emergency board and requested that fund to be available to them if needed, only in E, not in their allocation, but also through the ODF budget hearings. OFIC requested an additional $1.6 million to be granted to the Department of Forestry in its severity for this coming year, and it's yet to be discussed past that point.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
The last question,
yes,
on this, that I think it's really pertinent to what we're, you know, we're asking for help, and I'm just, you know, concerned if, for example, like our HJM 22, you know, if we are truly financially going to be in a position to do what we need to do to protect not only the people, but certainly residences and our timber. And I have great concern that we need some kind of certainty that we have available help. I mean, when we look at a helicopter that runs the, you know, smallest one from $500 an hour to, you know, to the Sikorsky Sky Crane at $10,000 an hour, or a Chinook, that I mean, we need to know that we have funds available. It's great to have the insurance, which I've bought from Lloyd's of London for many years for the aviation industry. But you know, what we're concerned about is the prevention of spreading of these fires. So I'm just maybe Representative Krieger knows if we do have prevention funds set aside. I don't know. We could ask later.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate that. Please continue. Well,
Chairman,
respond, and then we need to let you finish your testimony.
That's fine. This is all great.
We keep asking you questions. We apologize for interrupting you.
Representative Nelson and other members, within the current information, within the current federal fiscal budget, they have increased their grant funds that are coming down to the Oregon Department of Forestry.
All right.
And so we have seen a significant increase in the number of grants that we have received, and many of them are dealing directly with fuels management. We received approximately just short of $1 million in an earlier grant and to deal with wildland urban interface issues, education, fuels treatment, and those kinds of things, community education. In addition to that, we have seen increases in the other grant funds that we typically get from the federal government, to the tune of doubling and tripling the amount of money that we have from federal government this fiscal year to deal with the kind of preparedness things that you're talking about.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Mike, please continue.
If I can interject one thing there, we're kind of blending issues, in my opinion, here, is that if I may, the state of Oregon has the highest reputation of any of the states in their fire protection capabilities. this deals with federal government, totally irrespective. The landowner community and the citizens of the state of Oregon are very fortunate to have the Department of Forestry managing their land.
Absolutely.
So this specifically is dealing with the federal agencies.
Yes.
We're very much at ease with the system that Oregon has in place, and if all agencies could be run like that, we wouldn't be here today.
We agree.
So with that, I'll continue.
Please. Thanks.
Okay. What Ed has just pointed out also is that a certain amount of dollars that are allocated to the urban interface areas as communities in risk are also targeted, and a larger amount of money is coming to address those needs for the public who has moved out into the urban interface areas. I guess in my opinion, once again, is that there's an awful lot of talk about, especially after last year, but we're already basically in April of 2001. We've had some very hot days. As of about 2 weeks ago, the Department of Forestry had already had 26 fires this year, burning over 300 acres already this year. By the time the dollars are actually getting down to the communities at risk out there, midsummer is not the time for some inexperienced landowners to start learning how to use a chainsaw out there.
Right.
So I guess once again, I see this as the federal government has recognized the problem, but we're already into the next fire season, and they've missed another window of opportunity already. So that's kind of one of the issues there I wanted to address. And the bottom one there, I believe you do have a list of some amendments that I've had a chance to add to the original version of HJM 22. This next one here, the key message there is the consideration of alternate means for controlling the fuel's buildup. Up until this time, the only tool of choice the federal government has seemed to use is fire. The risks associated with it are very well documented in the newspapers and in the insurance premiums of landowners across the state. We believe that until they can restore some of these stands with the fuel's buildup back to a more natural state, they need to consider as well or more consider alternate means of reducing the fuels rather than fire. The benefits there as far as providing employment opportunities, resources, by burning all those fuels, your emissions to the atmosphere from smoke is not healthy to the population either, and the risk of losing one of these controlled burns is awfully high. We implore them to consider alternate means as much as they do fire. In the past, it seems like fire was the only tool. And I guess the key message that I was able to add as an amendment there is really, it's on page 2, line 21. In essence, I believe it's Oregon's expectation of seeking a long-term solution to the problem. And really, due to the long-term nature of our forest resource, this strategy that we're asking them to develop really should be crafted in a manner that it must transcend different administrations. The problem is the pendulum swinging back and forth. I mean, the social and economic policy swings at each end of the administration pendulum aren't healthy for Oregon or its forests, and we're trying to get some consistency out of this request. As I was drafting my testimony, I realize your time is short, there's a monthly publication called Wildfire Magazine. It's kind of a trade magazine for wildfire professionals that talks about new and innovative approaches, equipment to help in suppression efforts. There's some excellent things in here. And I was thumbing through it while doing my testimony, and I provided you guys a copy of two pages of Viewpoint, When Will We Ever Learn, written by a retired Forest and Service employee. I'll let you read that at your leisure. But as I was thumbing through, looking at all these great color documents and ads for ways to suppress fires, this one caught my eye while I was doing testimony. And it's a half-page ad. It's the only one in here that's sanctioned by the USDA Forest Service, and it's how to start fires, not how to suppress them. And I guess that's that mental logic that just hit me right between the eyes as I was doing my testimony, and I couldn't resist the opportunity to share that with you. That's the kind of thing that I guess we're looking forward to changing. And you'll see in my testimony there, up until about 15, 20 minutes ago, I was under the impression that the Department of Forestry didn't have anybody available today, and I was instructed by Charlie Stone. But since Ed showed up, I'll let him take it from there.
Thank you, Mike. I do appreciate sharing your thoughts with us. Ed, you want to go ahead and give us your perspective?
Yes. Chairman Croft, members of the committee, I did not have time to prepare official written testimony. I do have, I think you have a copy of the notes I'm going to be using, and we can convert that to a written document if you prefer. The Oregon Department of Forestry supports House Joint Memorial 22. We feel it is very factual, comprehensive in its focus, and provides a balanced approach to addressing fuels management on federal forest lands and the related risks and environmental impacts. While the National Fire Plan, which was published in October of 2000, contains many of the concepts and strategies presented in the memorial, the Department of Forestry feels that it's important that Oregon provide its support for addressing fuels reduction activities by all federal fire management agencies to protect Oregon's communities and natural resources. House Joint Memorial 22 will also serve to reinforce our agency's positions as we coordinate with the Department of Agriculture and Department of Interior agencies in these areas, and especially when we're talking about the alternative fuels reduction methods that might be applied. We do recommend that the committee pass HJM 22 with the amendments offered by OFIC. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Do we have additional questions, members?
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure we understand, or I must speak for myself. I don't understand what procedures we would take on the fuel, you know, this program. I mean, what would a normal blue-collar worker, what should I know about this practice, I mean, that will occur or should occur that is different from what we're torching now?
Chairman Kropf, Representative Nelson, there are a number of practices depending upon the target that you're trying to deal with. If you have a home in the rural interface, there are certain fuels treatments that you can do in and around your home to provide a more defensible space and protect your home from a wildfire consuming it. In addition,
like bulldozing?
Oh, Representative Nelson. No, it would be a matter of where you would place. If you have pile your wood away from your home,
get rid of my eyes.
Block. Use fire-resistant plants for your yard decorations and things like that, and just certain things. There's a number of items, and we have prevention programs that we're going around the state to, on this year, partially funded from the federal grant monies that we're receiving to educate communities and homeowners in those areas how to treat their homes. In addition to that, in the communities that are in the interface, talking with landowners, whether it be the federal government or private industry, on dealing with methods, either mechanical and or prescribed fire methods, to reduce the fuels that are adjacent to these communities. And those are the primary focus areas and that we're dealing with. But there's a number of things and programs that we have set up and we're in line to be implementing and getting out this year.
Follow up, Mr.
Sure.
Chair. Would you be so kind to supply me with some materials so I can take them to my district, because I firmly believe that my 83,000 people have no concept of what we're even talking about?
Chairman Kropf, Representative Nelson, I sure would be
more than
willing to do that.
Thank you. Members, do we have additional questions? Gentlemen, do you believe it's going to be one of the worst fire years on record based on what's happening now? Or it has the potential to be? Let's state it in that manner.
Chairman Kropf, it has the potential to be based on the rain or precipitation we've had in the snow levels. Those coincide with very serious fire years. Kind of the unknown right now is what lightning is going to do to us in August. And if Mother Nature treats us well in that way, we will survive like we did last summer with less problems than the rest of Western states did.
Thank you both very much. I appreciate your support of this issue and your thoughts today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chair, I'd like to call Katie Kate, Oregon Cattlemen's.
Thank you, Chair Kropf, and members of the committee. For the record, Katie Kate, representing Oregon Cattlemen's. I'd just like to briefly provide support for House Joint Memorial 22. 52% of Oregon is owned by the federal government and is managed by the Forest Service and BLM. Our cattle ranchers graze on these lands with either Forest Service or BLM grazing permits. And fires like we saw last year in Montana and Idaho would be devastating to cattle operations throughout the state. These fires also do not just stay on public lands. They encroach on private property and put that property the homes and families at risk. I'd also like to add that this bill asks for a reduction in fire load, and cattle grazing can be a very good use of this by grazing the grasses and the brushes and keeping the risk down. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Members, do we have questions? Yes.
Katie, let me just tell you what's happening on our farms and our ranches in my area. Because of the Endangered Species Act, which I have great, you know, respect for in some certain areas, we're required in our basins of, you know, potential watersheds to keep a lot of brush. We can't even, you know, by law remove this brush, but in a heartbeat, I mean, through last summer and the summer before, I mean, we could be wiped out just because the brush that we have to keep in these watershed areas in case a fish should ever return in the next century. You know, I think we need to look at this, and I it would be fuel, you know, thousands of acres, and you know, I'm concerned about this. We speak to this issue and vegetation, and you know, want to hurry off of the subject and pass the bill, but at the same time, we have restrictions that also make us very vulnerable to the loss of our properties. I can take you to 50 farms right now and show you this requirement. I've asked the loggers who come to log a portion of the lumber each year. I said, can't you go down there and clean out some of the brush? And they said, no, by law, we're not allowed to touch it. You know, we need the forester to walk in, and we've had it. But I'm concerned about this. We have this requirement. Right now, we're in great risk of fire danger. I know this very well. I've lived in it for 25 years. And but yet, we can't clear away a lot of this brush. That talk about bonfires. We're going to start them ourselves. So I really think we need some emergency relief beyond this program. And I think we ought to, you know, ask for help from our state agencies to protect this. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Members, any additional questions? Thank you, Katie.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Chair would like to not read into the record, but call the committee's attention to a piece of paper that was handed out to all of us by the Oregon Family Farm Association, also very much in support of HJM 22. Let it so be noted for the record. Is there anyone else here to testify on HJM 22? Hearing none, the chair will close a public hearing on HJM 22 and open a work session. Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move HJM 22 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
We probably should address the there is a dash one amendment. We probably should address that first. If you would like to make that motion, Representative Krieger.
Yes, we move the dash one amendments into House Bill, HJM 22.
Okay. It has been moved that we amend HJM 22 with the dash one amendments. Ray, briefly, do you want to share with us the effect of the amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what the dash one amendments do is correct the report date on the original measure and add out-of-controlled fires as a risk, as you heard in testimony, and it requests the federal government develop a long-term fuel strategy that transcends multiple administrations. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ray. Members, any discussion on the amendments? Is there any yes, Representative?
Yes, I do. Regarding line 23, the concept of out-of-control controlled fires is beyond my comprehension, unless Representative Krieger can explain it differently. Out-of-control controlled fires.
Out-of-control controlled fires is one that is intentionally set, thinking we're going to control it, and then it gets out of control, similar to what happened in New Mexico and they burned it up. They burn up a lot. It's not infrequent. As the gentleman testified earlier, they do get out of control too high of a percentage of the time. It's because that fuel buildup adjacent to those areas are going to burn is very hard to manage and control.
Representative King.
Slop over.
Okay. Slop. Ray, do you have additional thoughts?
Mr. Chair, quite simply put, the Forest Service and many fire services set controlled fires for the purpose of reducing fuel loads in areas that are subject to wildfire. And what can happen and what has happened, as Representative Krieger described in New Mexico, is that this controlled fire or controlled burn can get out of control of the good firefighters. And that is the issue being addressed in that part of the amendment.
Any additional discussion regarding the dash ones? Is there any objection to adopting the dash ones? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, would it be more appropriate to send it to the consent calendar?
Yes, I believe it would, hearing if there is no objection on the adoption of the bill. So the chair needs a motion still?
Mr. Chair, you actually, from technical standpoint, have a motion on the table to the first motion that was made.
That's
was
correct. Thank
moved
you.
To the floor.
Thank you. Okay, it has been moved that HJM 22, as amended with the dash ones, be moved to the full House as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion, members? Representative King.
I was wondering if the maker of the motion would accept the amendment to the motion to allow for it to be sent to the consent.
Absolutely.
Okay, it has been moved that the motion be amended to add to the consent calendar. Is there any objection to the amendment to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Members, discussion regarding HJM 22 before we vote. Members, I want to thank you for hearing this issue today. I will tell you that I have been, as a firefighter, involved personally on the ground in these issues, and I will tell you that fire loading and proper suppression activities and proper distance between your home and trees and all of those issues has a tremendous impact on your ability to control a fire. That was very, very important, and I thank you. And I would state also that I have potential conflict of interest because as a firefighter, I am at times under state law called to participate in these types of firefighting activities with which I am paid for that purpose. So I need to declare that potential conflict of interest. And if there's no further discussion, hearing any objection to the motion, hearing none, so ordered, HJM 22 is hereby passed to the full House as amended with a due pass recommendation and added to the consent calendar.
We didn't vote.
No, I just asked for any objection on the motion, and no one said anything. Would you like a voice vote? We'll be happy to do that. Okay, it's closed. We're done. All right. I'm going to close public hearing and our work session on House JM 22. And the chair will now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 310. Ray, you want to tell us what 310 is all about?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 310 defines information required on commercial feed labels. It defines information included on custom mixed feed labels. It defines registration process for commercial feeds and clarifies the definition of contract feeder, final consumer, and custom mixed feeds. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ray. I see Chuck Craig in front of me. I'm assuming that, yes, Chuck is the only one signed up. Chuck from Oregon Department of Agriculture and Richard, is it Tenick?
Yeah.
Welcome, Richard. Both of you testify together, if you would, please. And state your names for the record.
My name is Richard Tenike. I'm the feed specialist for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And Mr. Chair and members, I'm Chuck Craig, Deputy Director for the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 310 is a housekeeping bill that is brought forward by the department. It does about three basic things. One, it relieves the industry of a cumbersome sort of label production requirement on custom feeds that are mixed specifically for customers in which the formulation changes often. Second, it brings a number of our feed labeling requirements into conformity with nationally adopted standards that are maintained by the American Association of Feed Control. officials and standardizing these labeling requirements helps our feed industry in surrounding states by us having a uniform format that is more generally accepted. And also there are some changes in the definitions, as staff has mentioned, for contract feeder, final consumer, and custom mixed feed. These changes in the definitions are simply to make the law easier to read, and they do not change the meaning of the terms.
Thank you, Chuck. Richard, your thoughts.
What I'm prepared to do, Mr. Chairman, is walk through the Senate Bill 310 that I think everybody has in front of them and just give a brief summary of what each section or paragraph does, if that would be...
If you would like us to do that.
Yes, the Chair would very much like you to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Section 1 just kind of introduces it. Section 2 lays out what information has to be on a feed label. It makes a distinction between a commercial feed and a custom feed. A custom feed being a feed that only goes to one end user, a commercial feed being a feed that would be registered with the state and used by more than one person. This is pretty much verbatim the National American Association of Feed Control language, and just kind of brings us up into the, it used to be the 90s, but the 2000s, for so that our language is similar to the rest of the states around us. Some of the things are a little different than what nationally. Oregon allows retail stores to bulk out feeds in their store, and that language is in here without having to put a label on every single pound of feed that they sell. They can just label the bulk bin and then send it home.
And Richard, where is that in the bill?
That's actually on line 29 on the first page, or line 30 begins.
Okay.
A commercial feed is exempt from labeling, and it continues on the next page. Section 3 talks about custom mixed feeds, and the current law requires the formula be sent with each delivery of custom mixed feed. These formulas typically change week to week. It's a good scenario is a dairy farmer feeding his dry cows or his milking string, and he would change the formula this week and add a little bit something different next week. This removes the burden of actually having to print that thing out and send it to with the delivery each time. Washington did this same thing back in 1992. So what the consumer would get when they had the feed delivered to the farm would be the things that are listed, who made it, who it was sold to, the date it was delivered, how much they delivered, any directions if it's medicated or has any other concerns. And then we put language in the bill so that if the farmer wants to get a copy of what formula was made that day, the mill has to keep it on file for a year and give the farmer access to it during business hours, which they currently don't have that ability.
Richard, doesn't it say 2 years?
Two years.
Okay. Yeah.
My apologies.
Thank you.
Been working with a lot of other regulations that are one-year record keeping requirements. Okay. Section 4 updates legal terminology that's basically been brought in since 1960 when this thing was first written. There's a few changes to some definitions on page 3. Line 18, it talks about a contract feeder, and we added some terminology so that that's a little clearer. Didn't really change the intent of what a contract feeder is and when they have to register, but you can finally figure out if you really are one or not. On line 41, we added a definition of final consumer. Means a person that feeds animals or they're under the control or ownership of that person, and that helps us determine, is this a commercial feed or is it a custom feed? We go on over to page 4. Sections 5, 6, 7, and 8 have no changes to the current law. It's just cleaning up language that's affected by the definition changes that were made in the previous section.
Question for you, Richard, quickly. in paragraph 4, line 27, 28, and subsequent lines there seems to say, do you currently have the ability to cancel registrations today in the department, or are we adding that as part of this?
Mr. Chairman, we currently have that ability. I don't see where you're...
Line 29 says, or line 28 says, the department in bold, and then 29 says, may cancel any registration subsequently found not to be in compliance. You currently have that authority, or are we adding that?
Mr. Chair, I think the legislative council just split that into two separate sentences. We currently have that authority, and leg council just rewrote it to make it a little more readable. And so the second sentence starts with the department in bold instead of having that and connecting the two.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I ask, where is the confidentiality of the formulas?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, I do not think we have anything covering confidentiality of formulas in the statute, and there's nothing there currently or in this bill that I'm aware of.
Chuck?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, that's not specifically in this bill, but in Oregon's public records law, there is a provision for keeping confidential things that are considered trade secrets, and a special formulation would be such a concept that we could keep confidential.
And is there a special fee for this follow-up, Mr.
Yes.
Chair, please? Is there a special fee to do that?
To keep something confidential?
Require that you do confidentiality, my formula?
No, Representative Nelson, no.
Okay, Richard, are anything else there really of substance that needs to be addressed throughout the bill?
No, Mr. Chairman. The Section 9 just repeals the current statutes that concern labeling and okay. that these are replacing.
Mr. Chair, follow up, please. And is there a phase-in of this so there's not additional expense already? I mean, we're going to phase this in over a period of time, the change in labeling? I mean, I can finish using my old labels up and...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson.
Please.
This actually reflects what's currently being done by industry,
okay,
and so there is no phase-in. There's no additional cost. There's no phase-in period. We're trying to catch the statutes up to reality.
Okay.
Yes, Chuck.
Mr. Chair, just to add on to that, I don't see an emergency clause on this bill, so it will be some time before it goes into effect, and that would give anybody time.
It will what?
It'll take, because there's no emergency clause, it'll be some time before it goes into effect. So the industry would have plenty of time to make those adjustments.
January 1st of
2002. All right, members, do we have additional questions? Gentlemen, I have a question. My cousin is in the feed business, Krupp Feed, Krupp Blue Ribbon Feed. And I'm just curious.
Aptly named, Mr.
Chair. Aptly named, yes. and I will state for the record, I have no economic interest in his company either, by the way. Does the industry support this? I mean, you're saying that it's already being done in the industry, so we're not adding any undue regulatory issue with the industry, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
This was actually brought forward at the Oregon Feed and Grain meeting a year ago. And it's been in front of the industry for a year, and they're very supportive of it.
Mr. Chair, the local feed officials testified in support on the Senate side.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. I do appreciate it very much. Is there anyone else here who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 310? Hearing none, we're going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 310, and we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 310. The chair would entertain a motion.
Chair, I would move that the committee pass Senate Bill 310 to the floor with a due pass recommendation for the consent calendar.
Okay, the motion has been made to pass Senate Bill 310 to the floor with a due pass recommendation on the consent calendar. Any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. No carrier because we're on the consent calendar. Members, thank you very much.
As you note, we did, we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 310. As you know, we did, in fact, cancel the methane digester trip. I do want to put that back on the calendar at some later date. However, I'd like to complete our committee work on House and Senate bills. We still have two or three fairly extensive bills that we are kind of working on now, and a fertilizer bill, which is a labeling bill that is a result of a lot of work by a lot of people in a very broad working group for a long time, and is we're still waiting on amendments on that to hear it for the first time. So there's about two bills that are really quite serious that we need to work on that are going to take substantive work. And beyond that, whatever the Senate sends us, we don't know. We're waiting on the elk farming bill. We don't know how that's going to turn out on the Senate side, and they have some other serious issues to send our way. The leadership has assured me that our committee must be shut down, hearing House bills by the 27th of April. And at that point, we will only be able to hear Senate bills by, I believe, the 15th of May, and then our committee will be finished. I would like for us to take the trip to the methane digester for those who are interested sometime before the end of our committee hearing, so we'll try to reschedule that. So I do appreciate your diligence. The chair will not try to hold you here any longer than is necessary on any given night. We will try to give you as much lead time on those nights that we are going to have to either start early and be late so that you can plan your lives accordingly. With that, I want to thank you all for being here, and we are adjourned.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to wish you a blessed Easter and also mm-hmm. members of the committee.
Thank you very much. Let it so be noted.
Thank you. Get some rest, please.
Oh, that'd be good. We could all file it.
So, Representative, are you going to get one of those new monster machines that they're going to be building soon? Built by, is it Freightliner? That's considerably larger than yours.
Okay.
You're not here tomorrow.
I'm not here tomorrow.
Well, yes, I am. I'm coming up, but I will be not coming to the staff or to the house. Okay. So Monday,
we have
Is it really?
Do you have any problem with that? Zero. You know, why don't we put the animals in the wildlife?
That's probably be a fire.